morning, everyone. We're going to turn in our hymn book to paraphrase number 30. You'll find it on the page 155 of your hymn book. That's paraphrase number 30 on the page 155. Come, let us to the Lord our God with contrite hearts return. Our God is gracious, nor will leave the desolate to mourn. His voice commands the tempest forth and stills the stormy wave. And though his arm be strong to smite, 'tis also strong to save. The paraphrase number 30, you'll find it on the page 155, page 155, standing as we sing, and let us each one sing it out with all of our hearts. Let us stand as we sing. Just unite our hearts together in prayer. Let us look to the Lord for His help, that sense of His presence and blessing in our season of worship here today. Our loving God, our gracious, eternal Father in heaven, we thank Thee afresh today for the goodness and the mercy and the grace of our God that finds us here in the house of the Lord to praise Thee and to worship Thee today. Father in heaven, we come before Thee in no merit of our own. We must confess with the Scriptures that each one of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Thy word tells us that all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags in the sight of Thee, the Holy God of heaven. Yet we thank Thee afresh today, O God, for the one who is our kinsman redeemer, the one who is the only mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And Father, we thank Thee today for Christ being the altogether lovely one, that He is the one in whom there is no blemish, no spot, no wrinkle. We thank Thee, Heavenly Father, that He kept the law of God perfectly for us, something that we could never do. And Lord, Thou didst speak from heaven, and Thou didst say, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And Father, we thank Thee that Christ came to this world to seek and to save that which was lost. We thank Thee, O God, that He made Himself an offering for sinners upon the cross of Calvary. And Father, we thank Thee that by His spotless life, we thank Thee for His atoning death and for the blood that He shed, that we are accepted in the Beloved through Christ our Redeemer. We can come to Thee in praise and in prayer and in worship. And we rejoice, O God, today that the scepter of God stretched out toward us is not a scepter of judgment or of wrath, but it is a scepter of grace and of mercy. And O God, our Father, as we come before Thee, we just confess our sins before Thee. We pray for that fresh cleansing in the Savior's precious blood. Create within us, Lord, a clean heart. Renew, Lord, within us a right spirit. And help us, Lord, today to worship Thee in spirit and in truth. Grant that the thoughts of our heart and the words of our lips, O God, would be acceptable, O God, in Thy sight, our strength and our Redeemer. And, O God, we pray for the outpouring of the Spirit of God upon us, even as we've been singing. Grant us showers of blessing and showers of grace, Lord, to be our portion. We pray, O God, that within our hearts today there'll be that returning to the Lord, that seeking after the Lord. And, Father, we thank Thee that Thou hast promised in Thy Word that if we seek Thee and search for Thee with all our hearts, that Thou hast promised that Thou shalt be found of us. Lord, we thank Thee for all who've been able to gather today in Thy house. And bless every head bowed before Thee, O God. We thank Thee for every believer in Christ, every child of God. Bless Your people. May there be a strengthening of Thy people in their most holy faith. Help us to be conformed more and more unto the image of Christ. Help us to die to self, to die to sin, and that day by day we might offer our lives a living sacrifice for God and for Thy cause and Thy kingdom and for Thy glory, we pray. And for any, Lord, going through times of trial and need, we pray that they will know the strengthening touch of God upon them in their heart and in their soul, we pray. For others maybe facing decisions in life, we pray that they will know the guiding and the directing hand of God. We thank that God's way is perfect, that God's way is the best way. And Father, for any with us today maybe wandering afar from God, may they know that restoring touch. And Lord, just hedge up their way, we ask of Thee, and draw them back into the center of Your will and into the very hollow of Thy hand. And into that place where Thou canst bless them and use them, O God, we ask. And Lord, for any with us today not saved, be the young or be the old, Lord, speak to them. May they realize the brevity of life, the certainty of death, and the great need to be saved, the great need to be born again. For Lord, Thy word says, except a man be born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. And we pray that even such today might come in faith and come in repentance unto the Lord and trust Him whom to know is life eternal. Bless all our families today and households that are represented. Unite every family in the Lord our God, we pray. And again, for those that would be listening in online today, whoever they are, wherever they are found, O God, on this earth, Lord, bless them, minister to them, and speak to them. Through Thy word and through Thy truth, O God, we ask. Again, we think of those that cannot join with us today because of age or sickness or infirmity. We pray that Thou will touch them, that Thou will bless them, that Thou, Lord, will strengthen them, that Thou will raise them up. For others, Lord, going through times of trial and difficulty and treatment at this time, may they know that underneath and all around are the everlasting arms of the Savior, we pray. For others who have suffered loss, even in recent times, give them comfort, give them grace, give them strength, and grant them to know the presence of the Lord being their portion. We thank Thee for our Sunday school this morning, and bless all the teachers and the boys and girls, and even, Lord, as they prepare for Children's Day, help them and bless them on that day, and use them for the glory of the Lord. Again, Lord, we thank Thee for a good evening of fellowship on Friday night, and for favorable weather and Thy hand upon us on that evening. And Lord, we thank Thee, Lord, for time together as the people of the Lord. Do bless also those who heard thy word yesterday in the open air in Enniskillen. And bless those that have been visited during the week with gospel literature. Oh God, we pray. Remember the online ministry as well. And we pray for the work of Bethel Children's Crusade. Remember the coming missions here in the church and Lisbalaw. And later on in the summer in Maguire's Bridge, we commit these to thee, O God, we pray. And Father, that thou will bless them and use them to reach many children with the gospel. And Lord, be pleased to save them by thy grace and power. Bless every outreach from our congregation. Remember the ladies' fellowship meeting planned for tomorrow night. Bless the one who will come to bring your word and pour out thy spirit and grant a time of blessing there and refreshing as the ladies meet together around thy word and around thy truth, O God, we pray. Bless our land, O God, today we ask of thee. Remember all our sister congregations. Bless each minister, each student, each layman who will preach thy word. May they know the blessing of the Lord our God to be upon them, we pray. And Father, we pray, have mercy upon our land, upon our nation, we pray. And Father, we pray as thy word would go forth today faithfully in many parts of our province. We think of the south of Ireland. We think of England, Scotland, and Wales. And Lord, bless thy people as they faithfully proclaim thy word and uphold the banner of the cross. And Father, grant seasons of refreshing and reviving across these islands and a turning unto the Lord. O God, we pray, have mercy upon us. Lord, give us up not, as it were, as a prey to our enemies and to sin and to ungodliness as a nation. Remember our Queen and our Monarch and the royal family. Have mercy upon them. We thank thee for her long reign. We pray that even in the latter years of her life that she will know thy blessing and thy grace. And Lord, we pray that she'll know the blessing of thy so great salvation. And Lord, that family also, that the light of thy truth and the light of the gospel will shine into that household, we pray. And for those that rule over us in our nation, have mercy upon them, we pray. Deliver them from the ways of self and ungodliness. And Lord, keep them from bringing in laws contrary to thy word. And Father, we pray that thou would just intervene and that there might be a turning to the Lord, even in the government of our land and of our nation, we pray. Remember the land of Ukraine today. We pray for thy blessing and protection upon it. Be pleased to drive Putin and his army out of that land. Preserve the testimony, Lord, of thy people in that land. Enable them even to meet together today in peace and stability, we pray. And Father, just intervene in mercy, Lord, in that situation. And even those that have been displaced and have lost all that belongs to them here on earth, we pray, O God, that there might be that turning to thee and that they might know God as their refuge and as their strength in their time of great need. Bless our missionaries today. We pray for thy hand of blessing upon them. Those that labor at home and those that labor abroad, Lord, meet their every need. Bless our brother Colin and Noel and the final meeting of that mission there in Garva today. We thank thee for those that were in under the sound of thy word unsaved. And Lord, we pray that thou wilt speak and that thou wilt give thy servants their tokens for good. And bless Colin over the summer season and his outreach, especially south of the border, and use him for thy glory and for thine honor. Be with us now, we pray, as we further praise thy name, O God, as we read thy word, as we meditate upon it. Have thy way in every heart and every life, we pray, and do every soul good, we ask. And may we leave this house today knowing and saying of a truth, Lord, it was good to be here, for here we met with thee. Visit this house today with thy salvation, for we ask all these things for Jesus' sake and glory, giving thee thanks. Amen. We're going to turn again, please, in our hymn book to hymn number 63. The hymn number 63 in the page 201 of your hymn book. There is a name I love to hear. I love to sing its worth. It sounds like music in my ear. The sweetest name on earth. Oh, how I love Jesus because he first loved me. The hymn number 63 in the page 201, and we'll stand as we sing. have your Bible with you today, would ask you to turn to the New Testament book of Revelation. That's the final book, really, of the New Testament, Revelation chapter 1. And we're reading from verse 9 of the chapter, just going down to the end of the verse number 20. Turning to the final book of the Bible, Revelation chapter number 1. And beginning our reading at the verse number 9 of the chapter. Let us hear the word of the Lord as we read it together this morning. Revelation chapter 1 and the verse number 9. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation, and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos, for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice of a trumpet saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, and what thou seest write in a book, and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus and unto Smyrna, and unto Pergamos and unto Thyatira, and unto Sardis and unto Philadelphia and unto Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me. Being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a fragrance, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. The mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks, the seven stars are the angels of the seven churches. And the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. Amen. We'll end our reading there at verse number 20. And our prayer is that God will bless this public reading of his eternal and infallible word to all our hearts. At this stage of our meeting this morning, I want to welcome everyone. In the Lord's great name, it's good to see all who have gathered with us here today. Young and old alike, we bid you all a very warm and sincere word of welcome in the Savior's great and precious name. And indeed, if you're visiting with us, we extend you a very special welcome. Trust that you'll feel at home. It's always a joy to visit us to share in our fellowship together. We pray the Lord will bless you around God's word today. If you're a Christian, if you're saved, may you be led on with God and strengthened in your faith and walk with God. But if you're here today and you're not saved, we do pray, and I know it's the prayer of the Lord's people, that you would come even today to that place of saving faith and saving trust in the Lord Jesus Christ alone for salvation. We also welcome those who may be viewing online today. We thank you for joining with us, and we pray the Lord will draw near to you and meet you at the very point of your need through his word and through his truth today. The announcements for the incoming week are as follows. Do remember, please, the evening prayer meeting tonight at 6:30 in the prayer room at the back there. Encourage as many as possible the Lord's people to gather for prayer. That'll be followed at 7 p.m. by the gospel service. We'll be long to bring God's word. Pray for the meeting. Plan to join with us and to invite and encourage others in under the sound of God's word. Tomorrow afternoon, meeting here at the church car park at 2 p.m. for the door-to-door outreach. Pray for that. And if you are able to join with us, we're delighted to see you. We've been visiting recent times around the town of Listnaskee, and just pray for that area in particular, that the Lord will bless the literature there to the people of that town. And Monday night here in the church at 8 p.m. is the monthly ladies' fellowship meeting. This will be the final meeting before the summer breakup. And the guest speaker tomorrow night is our sister Mrs. Rachel Burker and her husband David have been laboring as missionaries for many years out in Guinea, West Africa. She'll be coming, giving a brief update on that, and also bringing God's word. So do remember that, ladies. Keep tomorrow night free. Encourage as many as possible to come, and not only come yourself, but invite and bring other friends along with you. And also there'll be supper for all tomorrow night, just in that final meeting before the summer breakup. So do remember that tomorrow night at 8 p.m., the ladies' fellowship meeting. Tuesday night, 8 p.m., will be the box opening for Bethel Children's Crusade here in the prayer meeting night. That's Tuesday night, 8 p.m. Our sister Gillian will be along to give a report of Bethel Children's Crusade and also tell of the plans for the summer work. So do remember that. Encourage as many as possible to gather on Tuesday evening. There's much happening in the children's work over the summer season. We want to pray for that, especially even on Tuesday night, and to bring that before the Lord. So do remember that, please. Friday night at 7:30, the Western Free Presbyterian Churches are having a youth fellowship, sports evening, and barbecue evening, and that is in the Bonacre Centre in Irvinstown. That's at 7:30. All young people are welcome, and also not only come yourself, but bring friends with you to that evening of fellowship on Friday night. And next Lord's Day, the 19th of June, is our annual Children's Day services, Sunday School and Bible class, 11 a.m., morning service at 12 noon, and then the evening service will be earlier. It'll be at 3:30. So do note the change of time. There'll be no meeting here at night. So if you come at 7 p.m., you'll be here on your own. So do remember that. It will be at 3:30. And both services preceded by the half hour of prayer. And the guest speaker is the Reverend Glenn Wilkinson from our church in Londonderry. And the boys and girls have been working very hard and been preparing much for this. It's a very special day in our church calendar and in the calendar for Sunday school. So do make it known. There are wee invitation cards out there, and we encourage you to take these, give them out to family members, friends, neighbours. If each one of us could invite someone and bring someone along to those meetings next Lord's Day, God's house would be filled. So do remember that, and take those wee invites as you leave, and be much in prayer for it. Do pray for the children's mission here in Bethel, Monday the 27th of June through to Friday the 1st of July from 6:30 to 7:45. And then there's also a children's mission planned from the 4th of July to Friday the 8th of July in Lisbell Orange Hall. That's in the morning from 10:30 to 12 noon. Do pray for these missions. And if anyone can help, do contact our sister Gillian as soon as possible. And then there's another mission planned later on in August, the second week of August, for Maguire's Bridge as well. Can I also just say that on Wednesday evening, the 29th of June, we're having the annual summer tidy-up here around the church, meeting just between quarter to 8 and 8 on that occasion. That's the final Wednesday night of the month. And if the men could just help with the tidy-up outside, and then the ladies just help in the inside, just in preparation for the convention. There's also a wedding here in the church during the summer, so do remember that, please. Do please pray also for our brother, Mr. Matthew Higgins. I think we forgot to mention this just recently there. He was ordained and installed as the new minister of our church in Limavady, and we pray for him as he takes up that work. The offering on Tuesday night past to our brother, Mr. Colin Maxwell, came to £1,045, for which we thank you sincerely in the Lord for that giving. And then again, a word of thanks to all who helped with the barbecue and all the ladies who supplied foodstuffs on Friday evening. What a great evening the Lord undertook as far as the weather. And we thank the Lord for His mercies and the time of fellowship together. And indeed, as a result of the barbecue, after expenses as a church, we've been able to give a gift of £900 to the orphanage and the work out there in Nepal, for which we thank you sincerely for these gifts towards that work. There are wee invites as well there regarding the Loch Erne Convention. We encourage you to take those as well and give them out, and be much in prayer for those meetings later on in July. That's really all by way of necessary announcements. We're turning again to the hymn number 495 for our third hymn this morning of praise. 495, Master, speak, thy servant heareth, waiting for thy gracious word, longing for thy voice that cheereth. Master, let it now be heard. I am listening, Lord, for thee. What hast thou to say to me? 375 is the page number. The hymn number is 495. We'll keep our seats while we sing the early part of this wonderful old hymn. 495, keeping our seats while we sing. Thank you. middle of the verse. Turn again to that passage of Scripture we read earlier, to Revelation chapter number 1. And with God's Word open before us, let us bow briefly just in a short word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy presence. We thank Thee for the privilege of meeting together to sing Thy praises, and the praises of Christ, and to sing of the things of God, being able to gather around Thy Word and to read Thy Word together in our mother tongue. And Father, we do pray, even as we've been singing, that above and beyond the voice of man today and the voice and the clamor of this world in which we live, that we each one will hear the still small voice of God. Speak, O God, and not only speak to us, but cause us to hear Thy voice. Not only cause us to hear Thy voice, but Lord, give us grace to obey and to follow Thee, Lord, and to do whatsoever Thou wouldst tell us to do, even through Thy Word today. May Thy Word be blessed to the sanctifying of saints. May it be blessed to the saving of sinners. May it be blessed to the glorifying of Christ. Pour out Thy Spirit upon us to this end. Grant a real sense of the presence of God. Close out the devil. Close out the world. Close out every thought that is not of Thee. And shelter our meeting over and around with the precious blood of Christ, in whose name we do pray and do ask all these things. Amen. Now, the text of Scripture that we want to base our message upon today is really the opening words of verse number 10 of Revelation chapter number 1. Where John the Apostle is writing and he says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Now, Revelation chapter 1 is a chapter that tells us how the Apostle John was exiled to the Isle of Patmos because of his faith and his witness for the Savior and the Word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. And it is in this time of great loneliness and in this time of great persecution that John himself receives a glorious revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as Savior. Not only a glorious revelation of Christ Himself, but also a glorious vision of the things that will happen at the end of this age, at the end of this world, when Christ returns in power and in great glory. And regarding this particular vision, John goes on and he tells us here in the chapter how these things were made known. They were revealed to him by the Holy Spirit of God in the Lord's day. And this is what he is especially referring to in the words of our text, verse 10 of Revelation chapter 1, when he says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and heard behind me, he says, a great voice. But people, the thing here to note about what John says here in verse 10 is this, that he singles out the Lord's day, or if you like, the Christian Sabbath, as a special day of great blessing here for him on the island, the lonely island of Patmos. He was alone. He was exiled. Yet the Lord comes to him in this day and reveals himself unto John and things that will happen hereafter. And John marks it here. He records it here, that it all happened through the Holy Spirit of God on the Lord's day. For he says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And here, if you like, he underlines, he singles out the importance of the Lord's day in his life as a believer, as a child of God. And people, today it is this important subject of the Lord's day that I want to think upon for a while this morning. Yes, sadly, we are living in an age when the Lord's Day is being desecrated more and more. Indeed, evidence of this is seen in the Lord's Day being used more and more for sport, for business, and for work that is not essential. Further evidence of this disregard for the Lord's Day is seen in the declining of church attendance throughout our land and throughout our nation. And this being so, then God's people must be especially careful to keep the Lord's Day special, to keep the Lord's Day as a day for the worship of the Lord, to keep the Lord's Day as a day for the service of God and for Christian service for Christ's cause and Christ's kingdom. You think of what the fourth commandment says to us. It says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Again, the Lord speaking through the words of the psalmist says, blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. And there God promises blessing upon those who walk in the ways of God and seek to keep the laws of the Lord and the word of God and the testimony of Scripture. And people, it is for that reason in particular that I want us then to look today for a little while at this vital subject of the Lord's Day, this one day that God has given to His people to worship and to serve Him, even in a great fashion. First of all, I want you to notice with me the origin of the Lord's Day, the origin of the Lord's Day. And considering the origin of the Lord's Day, we must go back to creation. And we must go back also to the giving of the Ten Commandments, which are for all mankind to observe. Turn in your Bible back to Genesis chapter number 2, right back to the beginning of time, when God created this world in 6 literal days. In Genesis chapter 2, verses 1 to 3, it says there, thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God ended His work which He had made, and He rested on the seventh day from all His work which He had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it He had rested from all His work which God had created and made. And there you see how after the creation of this world in 6 days that God rested, we're told, on the seventh day. And He blessed the seventh day, blessed the Sabbath day. It says there He sanctified it. In other words, He set it apart from the other 6 days of the week. Then go on over a little bit from that over to the book of Exodus, Exodus chapter 20. Where you have the giving of the Ten Commandments. And can I say the Ten Commandments are for all mankind to abide by and to live by right to the end of time. There are many today will say that the Ten Commandments are old-fashioned, they're no longer relevant. Well, that is untrue. That is unscriptural. The law of God is to be observed by all mankind right to the end of time. And in verses 8 to 10 of Exodus chapter 20, you have the fourth commandment. And it says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day, and He hallowed it. And there you have God giving to us the fourth commandment. And there He makes it very clear that 6 days are for work. 6 days are for labor. But the seventh, yes, apart from works of necessity and mercy, is to be set apart as a day of rest. And up until Christ's resurrection, to the rising again of Christ from the dead the third day, up until Christ's resurrection, the seventh day, the Sabbath day, was observed as a day of rest. But then from Christ's resurrection, the first day of the week, or Sunday, was made a day not only for rest, but also a day for worshiping and serving the Lord. Henceforth the name in the Scripture, the Lord's Day.
Hebrews chapter 4 and the verse number 10, there you read of Christ. And it speaks of Christ entering into his rest, the rest of heaven, after his rising again from the dead. And it says there of Christ, "For he that has entered into his rest, he also have ceased from his own works as God did from his." Therefore, to commemorate Christ's resurrection, his rising again from the dead after his great work of atonement and the great rest that he purchased by that atoning work and salvation, the New Testament church has kept the first day of the week as the Lord's Day and as the Christian Sabbath. And people, there is much evidence of this throughout the Scriptures. You turn over in your Bible to Acts chapter number 20. Acts chapter number 20. Here you read of Paul the Apostle, one of his missionary journeys at Troas. And it says in verse number 7 there of Acts chapter 20, it says this, it says, "And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread," it says, "Paul preached unto them." There you see, it was the first day of the week, the Lord's Day, the Christian Sabbath. They met together. There was the breaking of bread. There was the observance of the Lord's Supper, the Lord's table. And Paul, we're told, preached unto them. There was the public ministry of the Word of God. It was a special day for the early New Testament church. You turn over a little bit further to 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and the verse number 2. And here again, you'll see from what Paul says to the church at Corinth that the Lord's Day, the Christian Sabbath, was a special day in the life of the church, in the life of God's people. He says in 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and the verse number 2, he says, "Upon the first day of the week," that's the Lord's Day, our Christian Sabbath, our Sunday in the week. It says, "Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come." And again, he singles out the first day of the week. Here the context is the matter of giving to God's work, the offering of the people for the work of God, the things of God. But he highlights the first day of the week, that they should come together and give their offerings to the Lord and to the Lord's work. And the people, the thing here for us to note is that the Lord's Day was special. It was a special day in the week and the life of the early New Testament church. And then you go over to the words of our text here in Revelation chapter 1 and the verse number 10. John makes it very clear, very significant, very pointed. He says, "I was in the Spirit," he says, "on the Lord's Day." He wants us to note the very day that he received this great blessing of a revelation of Christ and the things that will happen hereafter. And people in all of this, and there are other references we could take you to, but time does not permit. We see here how the Christian Sabbath, the Lord's Day, is a very special day in the life of the church of Christ. Yes, summing up the appointment and summing up the observance of the Lord's Day or the Christian Sabbath, answer 59 of the Shorter Catechism rightly says these words. It says, "From the beginning of the world to the resurrection of Christ, God appointed the seventh day of the week to be the weekly Sabbath, and the first day of the week ever since to continue to the end of the world, which is the Christian Sabbath." And people, let us note today that the Lord's Day is scriptural, something that is taught to us and set down before us in the Word of God. This is not man's devising. This is not what the church itself has devised. No, this is something that God has ordained for his people, for his church, right from the very beginning of time itself. Yes, we see here the origin of the Lord's Day, but not only the origin of the Lord's Day. Notice, secondly, here this morning in connection with our subject, notice the reasons for observing the Lord's Day. What are some of those reasons? Well, there is the reason of the Lord's glory, the glory of God. Again, you think of God himself at creation. My God himself at creation, we're told, he rested on the seventh day after his great work of creation. Genesis 2 verse 3 says, "And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested," it says, "from all his work which God created and made." God rested on the seventh day. Therefore, whenever we observe the Lord's Day as His people, we are displaying a likeness to God. Yes, we are given a special opportunity to remember God's glorious work in creation and His glorious work in redemption. We glorify the Lord in this. And by setting aside this day, we also honor the Lord by acknowledging the Lord's claim upon our own time and the Lord's claim upon our Christian service. God wants you and I to render up one day of the week to serve Him, to honor Him, to glorify Him. This is His purpose. This is His plan for us as His people, as His church, so that we glorify Him here on earth on this scene of time. Yes, there is the reason of the Lord's glory, but we can say further, there's also the reason here of our own good. You think of what Christ said in the Gospel of Mark about the Sabbath day, the Lord's day, and Mark chapter 2, verse 27, he says, the Sabbath was made, he says, for man. In other words, for man's good. And my God has instituted one day in seven as a day of rest. And this is for our good, both physically, and not only for our physical well-being, but also for our mental well-being. And people, if we disregard the Lord's day as a day of rest, then the inevitable consequence will be a breakdown in our health, both physically and also a breakdown of our mental health. It will be to the detriment of our good, our health, and our strength. And God has given us this one day as a day of rest for setting aside the other things that would take up our mind and our body's strength throughout the rest of the week. It's for our good. It's for the good of mankind. It's for the good of society. Then we can say further today, there's another reason, that is, another reason to keep the Lord's Day is that it is a sign of the Lord's covenant with His own people. It's a memorial to the covenant that the Lord Himself has made with His people. You turn over there to Exodus chapter 31. Exodus chapter number 31. And look at what is said there in verses 16 and 17. The context, Ian, is of the Lord's Day, the Sabbath day. Exodus 31 and the verses 16 and 17. Notice what is said here to God's ancient people. It equally applies to us today who are saved. It says, wherefore the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations. Notice it, for a perpetual covenant. It is a sign between me, the Lord says, and the children of Israel. It's a sign between Him and His people. Notice it, forever. And child of God, can I say to you this morning that the keeping of the Lord's Day is a reminder of the fact that we are the Lord's special people. It's a sign of the covenant that the Lord has made with His people. Yes, by the redeeming blood of Christ, what has God done for us? He has purchased us for Himself as His own peculiar treasure, as His own peculiar people. And He says we're to keep the Sabbath day as a sign of this covenant that we belong to the Lord and the Lord belongs to us. Yes, child of God, the Lord is one who loves you and I with an everlasting love. Never lose sight of that, Christian, in your life. The Lord loves you with an everlasting love. And when we are saved by God's grace and redeemed by the blood of Christ, we belong to the Lord for all of eternity to come. Christian, you are the Lord's treasure. You who are saved in the meeting today by God's grace, redeemed by the blood of Christ, you're the Lord's treasure, the Lord's property for all of the countless years of eternity to come. And can I say, and this is upon the authority of Scripture, there is no power, dear Christian, outside of yourself that can sever and break this covenant. And we go further this morning. Not only is there no power outside of yourself, child of God, that can break this covenant, but there's also, child of God, no power within yourself that can also break this covenant, this relationship that the Lord has with His people for all of eternity to come. It's an everlasting covenant sealed by the very blood of Christ. You think of what Paul says at the end of Romans chapter 8. He says there, nothing, he says, shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You think of one of the great hymns that we often love to sing. The hymn writer says, "Now I belong to Jesus. Jesus belongs to me, not for the years of time alone, but for eternity." Christian, think of that today. For all of the billions of years of eternity to come, it's beyond our mind, it's beyond our comprehension. You belong to the Lord. You're in covenant with the Lord. And there's no power on earth, there's no power in hell, there's no power within us that can break that covenant. And believer in Christ, when you and I keep the Lord's Day, we are being reminded of that covenant. That's what the Bible says. Reminded of that eternal union with Christ. And you know, people, whenever we neglect the Sabbath day, what happens in our life as Christians? Doubt sets in, fear sets in, and we lose our assurance of salvation that we belong to the Lord. That's the inevitable consequence of neglecting the Lord's Day. Oh, how important it is that we observe the Lord's Day, the origin of it, the reasons for observing it. Notice thirdly this morning, notice the manner in which the Lord's Day is to be observed. How are we to keep the Lord's Day? Well, the Bible makes it clear we are to observe the Lord's Day by remembering it. You think of the fourth commandment. In Exodus 20, verse 8, it says, "Remember the Sabbath day." We're not to forget the Sabbath day. We're not to forget about it. We're not to disregard it. Oh, society would say, forget about it. Disregard it. Have no thought or care about it. But that's what God says we are not to do. He says, remember the Sabbath day. It's a day of the week that we are to especially remember and cherish. And the Bible says we are to delight in it. You turn in your Bible over to Isaiah chapter 58. Isaiah chapter 58, and you'll see this for yourself from the Scriptures. Isaiah 58, verses 13 and 14. And here the Lord is speaking to His people about His day. And in verses 13 and 14 of Isaiah 58, it says, "If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holieth the Lord honorable, and shall honor Him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words, then thou shalt delight thyself in the Lord." And there he speaks of the Lord's Day being a delight and bringing delight and blessing and happiness and joy to the people of God as they observe and keep that day special. And you and I, yes, as believers, we are to observe the Lord's Day by remembering it. It says, remember. When God says remember something, we're not to forget about it. This is a red letter word from the Lord to His people, to His church. We're also to observe the Lord's Day by keeping it holy again. In the fourth commandment, God says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And that word holy means to set apart. In other words, resting from our normal routine of life, the Lord's Day is to be set apart for the worship of the Lord and for serving the Lord. The psalmist says, "Oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness." He also says, "Serve the Lord with gladness." And by keeping the Lord's Day, by attending God's house, Lord's Day morning, Lord's Day evening, you and I are given a special opportunity from God to worship the Lord together as people and to serve the Lord. Also, we are to observe the Lord's Day by doing good to others through works of necessity and works of mercy. And the Lord teaches us that in the Scriptures. Turn over to Matthew's Gospel and to the chapter number 12. And here you have the healing of the man on the Sabbath day by the Lord. And look at what the Lord says in Matthew chapter 12, verses 10 to 13, the man who had the withered hand. And it says in verse 10 of Matthew chapter 12, "And behold, there was a man which had his hand withered. And they asked him, saying, Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath days, that they might accuse him?" These religious people were against Christ. They wanted to accuse Christ. "And he said unto them, What man shall there be among you that shall have one sheep? And if it fall into a pit on the Sabbath day, will he not lay hold upon it and lift it out? How much then is a man better than a sheep? Wherefore, notice what Christ says, it is lawful to do well
on the Sabbath days. Then saith he to the man, stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it forth, and it was restored whole, like as the other. And here people with the Lord's own example in this matter of doing good on the Sabbath day, of healing this man with the withered hand. Here we have the Lord before his accusers defending his own action in this whole matter. And brethren and sisters in Christ and keeping the Lord's day, yes, as believers, you and I must be careful not to neglect good works of mercy and good works of necessity to those that are in need. And that's what the Lord is teaching us here, even in the observance and the keeping of the Lord's day. Further, we can say we are to observe the Lord's day by remembering God's work in creation. Again, think of the fourth commandment in Exodus 20, verse 11. It says, for in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is. Christian parent in the meeting this morning, let me say this, by keeping the Lord's day as a memorial to God's work in creation, you'll be protecting your children from the awful lie of the devil regarding evolution. Because the Lord's Day reminds us of the fact that God rested on the seventh day after creation. It's a memorial to God's great work of creation that he spake this world into existence. And Christian parent, by keeping the Lord's Day special, you'll protect and fence your children from the awful lie, the devilish lie of evolution. Also, we are to observe the Lord's Day by remembering God's glorious work of redemption. It's a memorial to the work of God in redemption. Turn back to Deuteronomy chapter 5. Deuteronomy chapter number 5. And turn with me there to the verse number 15 of the chapter. And again, the context here is the keeping of the Sabbath day as a memorial to how God redeemed Israel out of the bondage of Egypt. And there's a spiritual picture there for us as New Testament believers, how the keeping of the Lord's Day is a memorial to God's great work of redemption. Deuteronomy 5, verse 15, it says, and remember that thou wast a servant in the land of Egypt, and the Lord thy God, notice it, brought thee out. Hence that speaks of their redemption out of Egypt through a mighty hand and by a stretched out arm. Therefore the Lord thy God, notice it, commanded thee to keep the Sabbath day. Here you see how ancient Israel, by keeping the Sabbath day, were reminded of their deliverance, their redemption by the blood of the Lamb out of the bondage and the tyranny of Egypt. And likewise, child of God, by keeping the Lord's day, we are reminded of how Christ, by his sacrifice, has redeemed us from the bondage and indeed the ruin of our sin. Through his precious blood, the blood of the Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible speaks to you and I of Christ and says, for as much as you know that you are not redeemed with corruptible things, the silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. And people, this surely is one of the all-important reasons why we must cherish and keep and observe the Lord's Day, because it is a memorial to the redeeming work of Christ our Savior. How important then is that God's Word is preached on the Lord's Day? How important then is that the gospel of Christ is preached from the pulpits of our land every Lord's Day? How important then it is on the Lord's Day that we meet together around the table of the Lord to remember the Lord's death for us upon the cross of Calvary. For in all of this we are remembering what Christ has done for us upon the cross. And my, it's a very sad thing in the land and the nation when churches are closed and the Word of God is not preached and the gospel is not preached. And the light of Christ and the light of the gospel burns very dimly in the land. How sad, how tragic that is. We're to cherish the Lord's day so that we especially remember what Christ has done for us upon the cross. Notice one final thing this morning. Notice the blessing of observing the Lord's day. You go back again to Isaiah chapter 58. Isaiah chapter number 58. And go back to that last verse of the chapter, verse 14 of Isaiah chapter 58. The context here is of keeping the Lord's Day, keeping the Sabbath. And notice what God says here to his people at the end of verse 14 of Isaiah 58. He says, "And I will cause thee," he says, "to ride upon the high places of the earth and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father." Notice it, "for the mouth of the Lord I've spoken." And these latter words there, verse 14, they speak of blessing upon those who keep the Lord's day, who keep the Sabbath day. My, yes, there's the blessing of rest and refreshment for our bodies, for our minds. Again, you go back to Exodus chapter 23 and verse 12, and God there is speaking to his ancient people about the Sabbath day, and this is what he says to them. On the seventh day, he says, "Thou shalt rest." And then he says this, "that thine may be refreshed." In other words, that they would be refreshed physically and mentally by having a day of rest. And also there is the blessing of growth and grace and spiritual advancement for us as believers by the means of prayer and meeting together around the public ordinance of God's word. In Isaiah 40 verse 31 it says, "They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength." It was John Bunyan who said, "The Lord's day is to be the market day for the Christian soul." And there's blessing for the believer. Coming to God's house around God's word, spiritual strength is renewed, and the believer is redirected and revitalized and refreshed. And then there's also the blessing of advancement in God's cause on earth. And people, it is a fact of history that multitudes have been converted to Christ through the preaching of the gospel on the Lord's day. I wonder if I were to ask you individually, believer, when were you saved? I would say that the majority here in the meeting would say we're saved on the Lord's day. You see, God has said faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. And my, God's cause has advanced by the keeping of the Lord's day. And then there's also the blessing of Christian fellowship and the strengthening of our bonds with God's people. In Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17, it says this, "Iron sharpened of iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend." And through God's people meeting together, the ties of fellowship are strengthened, and they're joined together more and more in the ways of God. How vital then it is for God's people to keep the Lord's day special. And then, people, can I say there's blessing for our homes. There's blessing for our communities where we live. There's blessing for our nation, blessing for our land. The psalmist says, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord." Again, the psalmist says, "Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord and walketh in his ways." And when a people keep the Lord's day, there's the blessing of God upon them, upon their homes, their families, their communities, their neighborhood, upon the land and upon the nation. It was D.L. Moody who said, "A nation that gives up the Sabbath has the seed of decay upon it." And you know, that's really the commentary of our own day and generation in our land and our nation here in the British Isles. The Lord's Day is no longer a special day. It has been disregarded more and more throughout our land, throughout our nation. And as a result, our nation is forfeiting and it is losing the blessing of the Lord. God says in his word, "Them that honor me, I will honor." Then we can say ultimately the rest of the Lord's day, it reminds us of the eternal rest of heaven for God's people. Hebrews 4 verse 9 says, "There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God." People of God, by meeting together in the Lord's day, we're preparing ourselves for heaven. That eternal rest for our souls, a place of many mansions. Oh, by God's grace, let us be those who keep the Lord's day special. While pressure is on society to give it up, let us hold dear to it, let us cherish it, let us pray much for it. Let us do all we can to maintain it. And dear friend, if you're in the meeting this morning, you're not saved, let me say this, if you are to enter into the eternal rest of heaven one day, now in time you must come to Christ for spiritual rest. In other words, you must trust him as Savior. The Lord says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." You can know your sins forgiven through faith in Christ. Grace then to live the Christian life and look forward one day to the glorious and the eternal rest of heaven, which the Sabbath day on earth is but a preparation for the people of God. We're going to close our meeting this morning by singing together the hymn number 27 in your hymn book. The hymn number 27 on the page 186. It's a wonderful hymn about the importance of the Lord's Day. It says, "Come, let us with the Lord arise. Our Lord who made both earth and skies, who died to save the world he made, and rose triumphant from the dead. He rose the Prince of life and peace, and stamped the day forever his." We'll stand as we sing. You'll recognize the tune, singing it out heartily and prayerfully unto the Lord. Hymn number 27 on the page 186. As we sing. We thank thee for thy presence with us. We thank thee for help given to deliver thy word. Bless thy truth to every heart and every soul. Help us as thy people to cherish thy day, to keep thy day, and to do all we can to promote thy glory and thy love on this thy day. Lord, we thank thee that it reminds us of the great rest of heaven that lies before us as the people of God. And for any here in the meeting today not saved, may they come and prepare for that rest even today, by choosing Christ and trusting him as their own and personal Savior. Part us now with thy fear and favor. Speak on to our hearts where the voice of man is silent. Return us again in thy will this evening hour. For we pray and we ask all these things for Jesus' sake and glory. Amen. And amen.